by the mercy of Krishna and by the association of devotees, one increases his attraction to and intelligence for pure devotional service. Therefore, one gives up everything and engages himself at the lotus feet of Krishna and his pure devotees. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, I am the original source of everything. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my service with love and devotion. Women, fourth-class men, uncivilized hill tribes, hunters, and many others born of low families, as well as birds and beasts, can engage in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who acts very wonderfully and follow the path of the devotees and take lessons from them. Although the ocean of nescience is vast, they can still cross over it. What then is the difficulty for those who are advanced in Vedic knowledge? Considering all these points, when one engages in the service of Krishna's lotus feet, Krishna gives one the intelligence by which he can gradually progress toward perfection in service to the Lord. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, to those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. To be elevated to the platform of devotional service, the following five items should be observed. Association with devotees, engagement in the service of Lord Krishna, the reading of Srimad Bhagavatam, the chanting of the holy names and residence at Vrindavan or Mathura. One's dormant love for Krishna gradually awakens if one is a little advanced in one of these five items and is intelligent. The power of these five principles is very wonderful and difficult to reconcile. Even without faith in them, a person who is offenseless can experience dormant love of Krishna simply by being a little connected with them. If a person is actually liberal and intelligent, he can advance and become perfect in devotional service, even if he has material desires and serves the Lord with some motive. Whether one desires everything or nothing, or whether he desires to merge into the existence of the Lord, he is intelligent only if he worships Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by rendering transcendental, loving service. Devotional service is so strong that when one engages in it, he gradually gives up all material desires and becomes fully attracted to the lotus feet of Krishna. All this is brought about by attraction for the transcendental qualities of the Lord. Whenever Krishna is requested to fulfill one's desire, he undoubtedly does so, but he does not award anything which, after being enjoyed, will cause someone to petition him again and again to fulfill further desires. When one has other desires, but engages in the Lord's service, Krishna forcibly gives one shelter at his lotus feet, where one will forget all other desires. Another meaning of the word Atma is one's characteristic nature. Whoever enjoys his particular type of nature is called Atmaram. Therefore, all living entities, be they moving or non-moving, are also called Atmaram. The original nature of every living entity is to consider himself the eternal servant of Krishna. However, under the influence of Maya, he thinks himself to be the body, and thus his original consciousness is covered. In that case, by the word Sha, the word Eva is meant. The word api can be taken in the sense of aggregation. Thus the verse would read, Atmaram Eva, that is, even all kinds of living beings worship Krishna. Living entities include great personalities like the four Kumaras, low-class foolish people, trees, plants, birds, and beasts. The devotional service of Vyas, Shuka, and the four Kumaras has already been well celebrated. Let me explain how immovable living entities, like trees and plants, engage in the Lord's devotional service. Everyone is eligible to receive Krishna's mercy, including Vyasadeva, the four Kumaras, Sukadev Goswami, low-born creatures, trees, plants, and beasts. By Krishna's mercy, they are elevated and engaged in his service. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna said to Balaram, "This land Vrindavan, Vrajbhumi, is glorified today. Your lotus feet have touched the earth and grass. Your fingers have touched the trees and creepers, and your merciful eyes have glanced upon rivers, hills, birds, and beasts. The gopis have been embraced by your arms, and even the goddess of fortune desires this. Now all of these are glorified." Also in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the gopis praise the Lord's activities. "My friend, both Krishna and Balaram are passing through the forest, leading their cows with their cowherd boyfriends. They both carry ropes with which, at the time of milking, they bind the rear legs of the cows. When they play on their flutes, all moving living entities are stunned, and non-moving living entities experience ecstatic jubilation by their sweet music. All these things are certainly very wonderful. The plants, creepers, and trees were full of fruits and flowers due to ecstatic love of Krishna. Indeed, being so full, they were bowing down. They were inspired by such deep love for Krishna that they were constantly pouring showers of honey. In this way, the gopis saw all the forests of Vrindavan. Kirat, Huna, Andhra, Pulinda, Pukash, Abira, Shumba, Yavan, and the Kash races, and even others who are addicted to sinful acts, can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord due to his being the supreme power. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto him." I have already spoken about the 13 kinds of meaning. Now there are 6 more. Combined, these make 19. I have already explained 19 different meanings. Now please hear further meanings. The word Atma also refers to the body, and this can be taken in 4 ways. One in the bodily conception worships his own body as Brahman, but when he comes in contact with the devotee, he gives up this mistaken idea and engages himself in the devotional service of Lord Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, "Those who follow the path of great saintly mystic yogis take to the yogic gymnastic process and begin worshipping from the abdomen, where it is said that Brahman is located. Such people are called shark, which means that they are situated in the gross bodily conception. There are also followers of the rishi known as Aruna. Following that path, they observe the activities of the arteries. Thus they gradually rise to the heart where subtle Brahman, Paramatma, is situated. They then worship him. O unlimited Ananta, better than these persons are the mystic yogis who worship you from the top of their heads. Beginning with the abdomen and proceeding through the heart, they reach the top of the head and pass through the Brahmarandra, the hole at the top of the skull. Thus yogis attain the perfectional platform and do not enter the cycle of birth and death again. Those who are in the bodily conception mainly engage in fruitive activity. Those who perform yajñas and ritualistic ceremonies are also considered in the same category. However, when they are all in contact with the pure devotee, they give up their fruitive activity and fully engage in the service of the Lord. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, one of the sages said to Suta Goswami, "We have just begun performing this fruitive activity, a sacrificial fire, but due to the many imperfections in our action, we are not certain of its result. Our bodies have become black from the smoke, but we are factually pleased by the nectar of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, Govinda, which you are distributing." The Tapasvis, those who undergo severe austerities and penances to elevate themselves to the higher planetary systems are also in the same category. When such persons come in contact with a devotee, they give up all those practices and engage in Lord Krishna's service. The taste for loving service is like the water of the river Ganges, which flows from the feet of Lord Krishna. Every day that taste diminishes the results of sinful activities acquired over a period of many births by those who perform austerities. As long as one labors under the bodily conception, he must fulfill volumes and volumes of material desires. Thus a person is called Atmaram. When such an Atmaram is favored by the mercy of Krishna, he gives up his so-called self-satisfaction and engages in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. When he was being benedicted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Dhruva Maharaj said, "O my Lord, because I was seeking an opulent material position, I was performing severe types of penance and austerity. Now I have gotten you, who are very difficult for the great demigods, saintly persons, and kings to attain. I was searching after a piece of glass, but instead I have found a most valuable jewel. Therefore I am so satisfied that I do not wish to ask any benediction from you." In addition to the 19 other meanings, this Atmaram meaning, including those laboring under the bodily conception, makes 4 meanings altogether and brings the total to 23 meanings. Now hear of another 3 meanings which are very suitable. As mentioned above, the word cha has been used to mean aggregate. According to this meaning, all the Atmarams and the Munis engage in Krishna's service. Besides aggregate, there is another meaning of the word cha. The word nigranta is used as an adjective, and api is used in the sense of certainty. For instance, Ramas cha, Krishnas cha means that both Ram and Krishna enjoy walking in the forest. The word cha also means ambachaye, which means to present a secondary thing to be done at the same time. This is the way of understanding the word avachaye. An example is, "O Brahmachari, go out to collect alms and at the same time bring in the cows." Saintly persons who are always meditating upon Krishna are engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. The Atmarams are also engaged in the Lord's service. That is the indirect import. The word cha is also used to indicate the certainty that only saintly persons are engaged in rendering devotional service to Krishna. In the combination Atmaram-api, api is used in the sense of censure. The word nigranta is taken as an adjective modifying muni and Atmaram. There is another meaning, which you may hear from me, indicating association with the devotee. Now I shall explain how it is that through the association of devotees, even a nigranta can become a devotee. The word nigranta, when combined with api, used in the sense of certainty, indicates a person who is a hunter by profession, or who is very poor. Nonetheless, when such a person associates with a great saint like Narad, he engages in Lord Krishna's devotional service. The words Krishnaramascha refer to one who takes pleasure in thinking of Krishna. Even though such a person may be a hunter, he is still worshipable and is the best of devotees. I shall now narrate the story of how the hunter became a great devotee by the association of such an exalted personality as Narad Muni. From this story, one can understand the greatness of association with pure devotees. I shall now narrate the story of how the hunter became a great devotee by the association of such an exalted personality as Narad Muni. From this story, one can understand the greatness of association with pure devotees. Once upon a time, the great saint Narad, after visiting Lord Narayan in the Vaikunthas, went to Prayag to bathe at the confluence of three rivers, the Ganges, Yamuna, and Sarasvati. Narad Muni saw that a deer was lying on the path through the forest and that it was pierced by an arrow. It had broken legs and was twisting due to much pain. Farther ahead, Narad Muni saw a boar pierced by an arrow. Its legs were also broken and it was twisting in pain. When he went farther, he saw a rabbit that was also suffering. Narad Muni was greatly pained at heart to see living entities suffer so. When Narad Muni advanced farther, he saw a hunter behind a tree. This hunter was holding arrows, and he was ready to kill more animals. The hunter's body was blackish. He had reddish eyes, and he appeared fierce. It was as if the superintendent of death, Yamaraj, was standing there with bows and arrows in his hands. When Narad Muni left the forest path and went to the hunter, all the animals immediately saw him and fled. When all the animals fled, the hunter wanted to chastise Narad with abusive language, but due to Narad's presence, he could not utter anything abusive. The hunter addressed Narad Muni.
O Goswami, O great saintly person, why have you left the general path through the forest to come to me? Simply by seeing you, all the animals I was hunting have now fled.
Narad Muni replied, Leaving the path, I have come to you to settle a doubt that is in my mind. I was wondering whether all the boars and other animals that are half killed belong to you.
Yes, what you are saying is so.
Why did you not kill the animals completely? Why did you half kill them by piercing their bodies with arrows?
My dear saintly person, my name is Magrari, enemy of animals. My father taught me to kill them in that way. When I see a half-killed animal and I see him suffering, I feel great pleasure.
All right, but I have one thing to beg of you.
You may take whatever animals or anything else you would like. I have many skins if you would like them. I shall give you either a deer skin or a tiger skin. Take what you like.
I do not want any of the skins. I am only asking one thing from you in charity. I beg you that from this day on, you will kill animals completely and not leave them half dead.
My dear sir, what are you asking me? What is wrong with the animals lying there half dead? Will you please explain this to me?
If you leave the animals half dead, you are purposefully giving them pain. Therefore, you will have to suffer in retaliation. My dear hunter, your business is killing animals. That is a slight offense on your part. But when you consciously give them unnecessary pain by leaving them half dead, you incur very great sins. All the animals that you have killed and given unnecessary pain will kill you one after another in your next life and in life after life. In this way, through the association of the great sage Narad Muni, the hunter was a little convinced of his sinful activity. He therefore became somewhat afraid due to his offenses. The hunter then admitted that he was convinced of his sinful activity, and he said,
I have been taught this business from my very childhood. Now I am wondering how I can be freed from these unlimited volumes of sinful activity. Huh? My dear sir, please tell me how I can be relieved from the reactions of my sinful life. Now I fully surrender unto you and fall down at your lotus feet. You please, please deliver me from sinful reactions.
All right. If you listen to my instructions, I shall find a way you can be liberated.
My dear sir, whatever you say, I shall do.
All right. First of all, break your bow. Then I shall tell you what is to be done.
Break my bow? If I break my bow, how shall I maintain myself?
Do not worry. I shall supply all your food every day. Being thus assured by the great sage Narad Muni, the hunter broke his bow, immediately fell down at the saint's lotus feet, and fully surrendered. After this, Narad Muni raised him with his hand and gave him instructions for spiritual advancement. Now return home and distribute whatever riches you have to the pure Brahmins, who know the absolute truth. After distributing all your riches to the Brahmins, both you and your wife should leave home, taking only one cloth to wear. Leave your home and go to the river. There you should construct a small cottage, and in front of the cottage, you should grow a tulsi plant on a raised platform. After planting the tulsi tree before your house, you should daily circumambulate that tulsi plant, serve her by giving her water and other things, and continuously chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. I shall send sufficient food for you both every day. You can take as much food as you want. The three animals that were half killed were then brought to their consciousness by the sage Narad. Indeed, the animals got up and swiftly fled. When the hunter saw the half-killed animals flee, he was certainly struck with wonder. He then offered his respectful obeisances to the sage Narad and returned home. After all this, Narad Muni went to his destination. After the hunter returned home, he exactly followed the instructions of his spiritual master, Narad. The news that the hunter had become a Vaishnav spread all over the village. Indeed, all the villagers brought alms and presented them to the Vaishnav, who was formerly a hunter. In one day, enough food was brought for 10 or 20 people, but the hunter and his wife would accept only as much as they could eat. One day, while speaking to his friend Parvat Muni, Narad Muni requested him to go with him to see his disciple, the hunter. When the saintly sages came to the hunter's place, the hunter could see them coming from a distance. With great alacrity, the hunter began to run toward his spiritual master, but he could not fall down and offer obeisances because ants were running hither and thither around his feet. Seeing the ants, the hunter whisked them away with a piece of cloth. After thus clearing the ants from the ground, he fell down flat to offer his obeisances. Narad Muni said, "My dear hunter, such behavior is not at all astonishing. A man in devotional service is automatically non-violent. He is the best of gentlemen. Oh, hunter, good qualities like non-violence, which you have developed, are not very astonishing, for those engaged in the Lord's devotional service are never inclined to give pain to others because of envy." The hunter then received both the great sages in the courtyard of his house. He spread out a straw mat for them to sit upon, and with great devotion, he begged them to sit down. He then fetched water and washed the sage's feet with great devotion. Then both husband and wife drank the water and sprinkled it on their heads. When the hunter chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra before his spiritual master, his body trembled and tears welled in his eyes. Filled with ecstatic love, he raised his hands and began to dance, waving his garments up and down. When Parvat Muni saw the ecstatic, loving symptoms of the hunter, he told Narad,
"Certainly, you are a touchstone. My dear friend Narad Muni, you are glorified as the sage among the demigods. By your mercy, even a low-born person like this hunter can immediately become attached to Lord Krishna."
Narad Muni then asked the hunter, "My dear Vaishnav, do you have some income for your maintenance?"
"My dear spiritual master, whoever you send gives me something when he comes to see me. Please do not send so many grains. Only send what is sufficient for two people, no more."
So Narad Muni approved his not wanting more than a daily supply of food, and he blessed him, saying, "You are fortunate." Narad Muni and Parvat Muni then disappeared from that place. So far, I have narrated the incident of the hunter. By hearing this narration, one can understand the influence derived by associating with devotees. In this way, we have found three more meanings. Combine these with the other meanings, and the total number of meanings add up to 26 in all. There is yet another meaning, which is full of a variety of imports. Actually, there are two gross meanings and 32 subtle meanings. The word Atma refers to all the different expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One of them is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, Krishna, and the others are different incarnations or expansions of Krishna. One who always engages in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is called Atmaram. There are two types of Atmaram. One is an Atmaram engaged in regulative devotional service, and the other is an Atmaram engaged in spontaneous devotional service. The Atmarams engaged in regulative and spontaneous devotional service are further categorized into four groups. There are the eternal associates, the associates who have become perfect by devotional service, and those who are engaged in devotional service and are called sadhak. Those who are practicing devotional service are either mature or immature. Therefore, the sadhaks are of two types. Since the devotees execute either regulative devotional service or spontaneous devotional service, and there are four groups within these two divisions, altogether there are eight varieties. By executing regulative devotional service, one is elevated to the platform of an eternally perfect associate, such as a servant, friend, superior, or beloved woman. These are of four varieties. Among those who have perfected themselves by devotional service, there are servants, friends, superiors, and beloved damsels. Similarly, there are four types of mature devotees. Within the category of regulative devotional service, there are also immature devotees. These are also of four varieties. Thus, in regulative devotional service, there are altogether 16 varieties. On the path of spontaneous devotional service, there are also 16 categories of devotees. Thus, there are 32 types of Atmarams enjoying the Supreme Lord on these two paths. When these 32 types of devotees are qualified with the words Muni Nigranta Cha'api, they can be increased in different ways and very soundly elaborated upon. When we add the 26 types of devotees to these 32, they altogether number 58. You may now hear from me of manifestations with different meanings. In this way, as I add the word cha to one word after another, I make a compound. Thus, the different names of Atmarams can be taken 58 times. In this way, one can repeat the word Atmaram with cha for each of the 58 meanings. By following the rule previously stated and rejecting all but the last, we retain that which represents all the meanings. Of words having the same form and case termination, the last one is the only one retained. When all the chakata, or additions to the word cha, are taken away, 58 different meanings can still be understood by the one word Atmaram. By the plural word vriksha, or trees, all trees, such as banyan trees, fig trees, kapita trees, and mango trees, are indicated. This Atmaram verse is like the sentence, "In this forest, many different trees bear fruit." All Atmarams render devotional service to Lord Krishna. After 58 times uttering the word Atmarama and taking cha in a sense of aggregation, one may add the word Munaya. That will mean that they also render devotional service to Lord Krishna. In this way, there are 59 meanings. Then, taking the word Nigranta and considering api in the sense of sustenance, I have tried to explain 59 meanings of the word.
Taking all the words together, there is another meaning. Whether one is an Atmaram, a great sage, or Nigranta, everyone must engage in the service of the Lord. The word api is then used in the sense of ascertainment, and then four times, with four words, the word eva can be uttered. The words urukram, bhakti, ahaituki, and kurvanti are added to the word eva again and again. Thus, another meaning is explained. Now I have given 60 different meanings to the verse, and yet there is another meaning which is also very strongly evident. The word Atma also refers to the living entity who knows about his body. That is another symptom. From Lord Brahma down to the insignificant ant, everyone is counted as the marginal potency of the Lord. The potency of Lord Vishnu is summarized in three categories, namely the spiritual potency, the living entities, and ignorance. The spiritual potency is full of knowledge. The living entities, although belonging to the spiritual potency, are subject to bewilderment. And the third energy, which is full of ignorance, is always visible in fruitive activities. The word kshetrajna refers to the living entity, the enjoyer, the chief, and material nature. The living entities are wandering in different species of life on different planets. But if by chance they get the association of a pure devotee, a sadhu, they give up all other engagements and engage in the service of Lord Krishna. I have thus explained 60 different meanings, and all of them aim at the service of Lord Krishna. After giving so many examples, that is the only meaning. Now, due to your association, another meaning has awakened. It is due to your devotional service that these waves of meaning are arising. Lord Shiva once said, "I may know. Shukdeva Goswami, the son of Vyasadeva, may know. And Vyasadeva may know or may not know the Srimad Bhagavatam." On the whole, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the spotless Purana, can be learned only through devotional service, not by material intelligence, speculative methods, or imaginary commentaries. After hearing all the explanations of all the different meanings of the Atmaram verse, Sanatan Goswami was struck with wonder. He fell down at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and began to offer prayers. Sanatan Goswami said, "My dear Lord, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda. All the Vedic literatures are vibrated through your breathing. My dear Lord, you are the original speaker of the Bhagavatam. You therefore know its real import. But for you, no one can understand the confidential meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Why are you glorifying me personally? You should understand the transcendental position of Srimad Bhagavatam. Why don't you consider this important point? Srimad Bhagavatam is as great as Krishna, the Supreme Lord and shelter of everything. In each and every verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, and in each and every syllable, there are various meanings. The form of Srimad Bhagavatam is given in questions and answers. Thus, the conclusion is established. By hearing these questions and answers, one is highly astonished." In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Suta Goswami was asked, "Now that Sri Krishna, the absolute truth, the master of all mystic powers, has departed for his own abode, please tell us by whom religious principles are presently protected." After Lord Krishna departed for his own abode, along with religious principles and transcendental knowledge, this Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam, has arisen like the sun in this age of Kali to enlighten those who have no spiritual vision. In this way, like a madman, I have explained the meaning of just one verse. I do not know who will take this as evidence. If one becomes a madman like me, he may also understand the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam by this process. Folding his hands, Sanatan Goswami said, "My Lord, you ordered me to write a directory about the activities of Vaishnavas. I am a most low-born person. I have no knowledge of good behavior. How is it possible for me to write authorized directions about Vaishnava activities?" Sanatan Goswami then requested the Lord, "Please personally tell me how I can write this difficult book about Vaishnava behavior. Please manifest yourself in my heart. If you would please manifest yourself within my heart and personally direct me in writing this book, then although I am low-born, I may hope to be able to write it. You can do this because you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead yourself, and whatever you direct is perfect." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Whatever you want to do, you will be able to do correctly by Lord Krishna's favor. He will manifest the real purport. Because you asked me for a synopsis, please hear these few indications. In the beginning, one must take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. In your book, there should be the characteristics of the bona fide guru and the bona fide disciple. Then, before accepting a spiritual master, one can be assured of the spiritual master's position. Similarly, the spiritual master can also be assured of the disciple's position. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, should be described as the worshipable object, and you should consider the Bij Mantra for the worship of Krishna, Ram, or any other expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You should discuss the qualifications necessary for receiving a mantra, the perfection of the mantra, the purification of the mantra, initiation, morning duties, remembrance of the Supreme Lord, cleanliness, and washing the mouth and other parts of the body. In the morning, one should regularly brush his teeth, take his bath, offer prayers to the Lord, and offer obeisances to the spiritual master. One should render service to the spiritual master and paint one's body in 12 places with Urdhva Pundra or Tilak. One should stamp the holy names of the Lord on his body, or one should stamp the symbols of the Lord, such as the disc and club. After this, you should describe how one should decorate his body with gopi chandan, wear neck beads, collect tulsi leaves from the tulsi tree, cleanse his cloth and the altar, cleanse one's own house or apartment, and go to the temple and ring the bell just to draw the attention of Lord Krishna. Also describe deity worship, wherein one should offer food to Krishna at least 5 times daily. One should in due time place Krishna on a bed. You should also describe the process for offering arti and the worship of the Lord according to the list of 5, 16, or 50 ingredients. The characteristics of the deities should be discussed, as well as the characteristics of the Shalagram Shila. One should also discuss visiting the deities in the temple and touring holy places like Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dvarka. You should glorify the holy name and carefully give up offenses when chanting the holy name. One should know the symptoms of a Vaishnava. One must give up or nullify all kinds of seva aparada, offenses in deity worship. The items of worship, such as water, conch shell, flowers, incense, and lamp, should be described. You should also mention chanting softly, offering prayers, circumambulating, and offering obeisances. All these should be carefully studied. Other items to be considered are the method of performing purashcharan, taking Krishna prasad, giving up unoffered food, and not blaspheming the Lord's devotees. One should know the symptoms of a devotee and how to associate with devotees. One should know how to satisfy the devotee by rendering service. And one should know how to give up the association of non-devotees. one should also regularly hear the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam. You should describe the ritualistic duties of every day, and you should describe the fortnightly duties, especially observing Ekadasi fast, which comes every fortnight. You should also describe the duties of every month, especially the observance of ceremonies like Janmashtami, Ram Navami, Nrisinga Chaturdasi. Ekadasi, Janmashtami, Vaman Dvadasi, Ram Navami, and Nrisinga Chaturdasi should all be observed. You should recommend the avoidance of mixed Ekadasi and the performance of pure Ekadasi. You should also describe the fault in not observing this. One should be very careful as far as these items are concerned. If one is not careful, one will be negligent in executing devotional service. Whatever you say about Vaishnav behavior, the establishment of Vaishnav temples and deities, and everything else should be supported by evidence from the Puranas. You should give general and specific descriptions of the behavior and activities of a Vaishnav. You should outline things that are to be done and things that are not to be done. All this should be described as regulations and etiquettes.